in a world of mindless movie cliches. One podcast fights back. Critics are calling it profound, epic, free. Prepare to revisit your video cassette memories of the 1980s and 90s. Behold, it's VHS Rewind.
Show. How are you, Christopher?
I am doing well, thank you.
That's great. I'm just going to actually turn this off, unless you want me to keep playing it.
I'm reliving my prom right now.
You know, I never noticed there was guitar in that song.
You know, it's funny, we're going to talk about Tiffany's guitar.
Yeah.
Because there's a, you know, when...
Oh, yeah, she's her guitarist is going crazy playing the guitar. I forgot about that.
And meanwhile, the crowd is, like, so not into it.
Well, what we're talking about this chapter of this episode is I Think We're Alone Now, which is a documentary. Is that the actual title? Do you know if that's the official title?
Yes, it is, as far as I know, yeah.
And it's about two particular stalkers, I'm going to call them, of Tiffany, the 1987 superstar.
Which you know, I have to ask this. I mean, so does Tiffany warrant such devotion?
Sure. Well, no. Well, well, it's a loaded question. 1987, personally, I wasn't listening to pop music. But she was huge, right?
She with one hit, right? I mean, does she have more than...
You know, I don't know. Everyone knows the song, though.
I know that one, but if she has others, I don't know about it. I know it seems like she keeps cranking out CDs.
Mm-hmm. Well,
of which
God.
Nobody knows about, but well, except these two guys. But I just could not imagine, did she have any other hits? And I couldn't come up with any. And now to see her, like I say, there's a segment where one of these stalkers is attending a beach concert and, like, her show is terrible. She's terrible.
Well, no, you know, I don't want to attack Tiffany as an artist.
Because, as an artist, I will attack her, but I actually kind of felt sorry for her because, you know, she's being followed by
that,
Jeff in
yeah.
particular, you know.
Well, Jeff is like the creepy uncle who wants to go, let's go lay down. I mean, this is what's weird about this entire thing, that... The people see that they are obsessed with it. They see within themselves that it's not a normal obsession.
No, I don't think so.
But then they don't. Sometimes they see it and sometimes they don't. And that to me is very strange. It's like they're not self-aware.
Jeff in particular is not. I mean, he's so we should point out that the two guys, Jeff and Kelly,
Yeah, let's start from the beginning, actually, because you know what? I am jumping around already.
Jeff has Asperger's. He's a middle-aged man with Asperger's.
Right.
And Kelly is a middle-aged...
Hermaphrodite.
Hermaphrodite.
With, according to her, yep. With both genitals.
With, right. So he has breasts.
Because that paints a picture.
It.
And I'm not going to paint it.
Now you're going to hear me giggle a lot as we watch these guys.
Why?
But because...
For obvious reasons. They're obsessed with something that's so strange.
And they, too, are strange.
And they are very odd.
They are. I want to know how the director found these guys. How do you pick these out? And how do you determine that, they're not really dangerous?
Well, you know, finding one is probably not too hard. But finding two?
I don't know.
Bring them together.
We'll get there. Don't jump around yet.
I know.
But we do follow these guys individually. And, do you want to intro Jeff for our audience, if we can, by, cue number one?
Sure. And I don't have these clipped like in our last episode, but so please bear with me. No, I couldn't. The file is giving me nothing.
I gave you 24 hours with these.
Oh, no, you didn't. All right. This is a part of the movie that I've played over and over again because I think that Jeff reading this is so strange. His giggles and what turns him on about what he's reading is so odd.
And that's why I left.
All right, so here we go.
Jen, Tiffany Darwish, actually I have her last name here, has been followed by one stalker for 11 years. As a 16-year-old, she was forced to get a restraining order against Jeff Dean Turner. They have my whole name in there. Then a 35-year-old, I was 35 then when that happened, fan who began pursuing her after kissing and hugging her at a concert. Didn't happen quite like that. Then one day, she saw him outside her house. I was a little freaked out, to say the least, says Darwish. They have her last name. I sat in the corner saying, close all the windows. Now she's back in Southern California, and so is her stalker. He writes us a letter every week and sends Elijah birthday cards. She says, I have to be real careful.
So, all right, so that's Jeff, who's reading a newspaper article, and he loves the fact that he's in the same article as Tiffany.
He's oblivious. He is oblivious to, in fact...
Mission accomplished in a lot of ways, right?
There's another talking head who comes in later for just a segment. It's a young girl who has this website devoted to Tiffany.
Yeah, more and normal too.
More normal, but and she's saying how like Jeff doesn't realize Tiffany doesn't want to be near him.
Right. It's. Yeah, and it's weird because you can see she's really just a devoted fan.
Yep.
Maybe. You don't even know she's a devoted fan. She's one of these people who just has like kind of a Facebook page and she runs it. Now we get into Kelly, and immediately with Kelly I thought of you, Chris.
What?
Because a blonde, obsessed. No, I'm kidding, of course. Now Kelly is a very strange-looking person and a very strange-acting person.
Yes. Yes. He does have problems with alcohol. Right. Like, there's a couple of times where I guess he was drunk or something, where he can barely get some words out. But
he seems loaded half the time.
Yeah, I mean, he mentions he's taking hormones, but I don't think that... I have no idea if that would affect his speech or whatever.
And what do you think about, the way Kelly looks? I understand,
she's hot.
He wants to be a woman, obviously. Or, mm-hmm. The male that's within him wants to be fully a woman. And the woman wants to be a woman. But he would do so much better as a male. If he just, you know, embraced it, he would just be kind of a, what's the word I'm even looking for? Kind of an okay-looking guy. Like, he's not a bad-looking guy, but he makes a very unattractive woman.
I have no comment.
All right. No, because I do feel bad for these people. You were saying before, it's you feel bad for them a little.
Maybe
you didn't say that. All right.
we'll get there. We'll get there.
All right, so I'm going to play this.
Let's intro Kelly, though.
All right. So I'll try not to put any more words in your mouth. Darwish.
Myself. Cupid actually never came around, and I've never had a girlfriend before in my life. I've been in love, but I have never had the same amount of love returned back to me, which is very depressing. It hurts like hell. But for some reason, I've always known the right person for me is Tiffany. I know she won't remember, but I accidentally bumped into her back in the summer of 1989, back when I was living in Buena Park, California. I remember this very clearly. Her and I talked for at least like 7 hours on the phone. The difference between me and a stalker, they don't truly love the individual. There's not one thing on Tiffany that I do not love. I mean, theoretically, I love her down to her bone marrow.
So, no, that is love. No, that's love.
I.
So, yeah.
But, you know. Both these, you know, again, I know that they're not well.
I think it's tragic. I don't see how you couldn't tragic. Feel bad for these people.
Kelly in particular, I can understand. Kelly in particular, because of his condition and if you want to play that cue number four, Kelly just goes into more about his condition.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just want to play that, and then I'll talk about feeling bad.
All right. Here we go.
Suffer from what's known as being born intersexed. What that is it's a condition in which a person is born with both genders.
Now, he's laying on a couch, by the way, and he has this little picture.
That's what I mean.
It's like a little 3x4, not even a photo. It's like from a newspaper.
Pillow next to him.
And, yeah, little things like that are throughout this entire documentary.
But Kelly's house is, he's just got nothing but pictures on the walls of
Tiffany. This is literally... Like, you know, it's definitely scary as hell. Like, if this was all of, like, me, I would be freaking out.
Right?
Maybe even a little flattered.
I wish that I was born with one part, but...
Oh, wait, is this the part where he runs?
It comes right after where I ended this clip, because I thought the running gag is more visual, but if you want to play it anyway... Gag.
All right, maybe I'll play it, because... All right, here we go.
But the Lord above, I had different ideas. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, people thought they would go, you're hermaphrodite, what the hell is that? And then I would tell them, and they go, back, to stay away from me, I don't want anything to do with you. How would Tiffany feel about my situation? I know that she would accept me for who I am.
I
I take what's known as spironolactone, which is a testosterone killer slash blocker. I mean, yes, I go through a monthly period and you know, PMS and period, just like every biological woman does, including Tiffany, but...
I'm going to let it play.
I went to Buena Park High School in Buena Park, California.
We can skim around and forget it, but basically he's saying how, or she's saying how, I'm going to call him a she, just because, out of respect. You call him a he, I don't care. So saying how, like, he's such a fast runner, so he's going to give an example of how fast of a runner he is. He's not that fast. He's really not that fast. It's almost like they slowed it down, it looks like. He doesn't... Like, I thought he was going to be, like, crazy fast or something, and I was like, all right, let's get on with this.
So,
thought it was a little bit weird.
So do I feel bad for him? I mean, yes, he has a very unfortunate condition. He probably has not experienced love, as he said.
Right.
I don't know if translating that into, you know, putting pictures of Tiffany on your wall and just being so like that is your life. That because that is literally his life is thinking about Tiffany.
Right.
He doesn't work. He gets
neither of these. Neither guys one work. Of them They're do. Both they, on like a form of one's SSD. Disability.
One is SSI and the other is SSDI.
Right. So one is like Social Security insurance, I'm assuming.
And then
or
the
social
other
service. I'm not really sure.
And then the other one is disability, I think.
Right, because I guess one of them is saying that he has a disability because, well, actually he does work because he works in a gym.
Which
she
one?
She works, Kelly.
Kelly does?
Yeah, because Kelly works at, remember, well, maybe not. Maybe think, she was no, just working out end, there.
I think he was just working out because at the end he says he's going to be a bicycle messenger.
That's right, cause you know what? I got fooled because she was wearing the Bally's shirt.
That's a nice plug for Bally's right there.
It's kind of like when you're in like a Walmart and you see somebody walk by with a blue shirt and you go, do you work here? And they turn around like really offended. I don't work here. Sorry.
I mean, I like that he is not a dangerous person as far as I can tell in this movie. Jeff is a different matter, though. I know he has Asperger's.
Yeah, and but... he knows he has Asperger's.
But he is just so aggressive.
And
he's so needy.
This is a tie-in a little bit with the Montauk Project, but you know, with Peter Moon, because they bring in these books that are basically written by the same people with the Montauk Project.
Ouch.
If you want to learn more about the Montauk Project, you can look up omniod.com and listen to my other podcast about more paranormal stuff.
But we realize that as this movie goes on, that both Jeff and Kelly do have a circle of friends.
Right.
And, you know, it transpires that this circle of friends is just as weird as the main, you know, as Jeff and Kelly are. But maybe more in Jeff's case, where his circle of friends seem strange.
I was going to play the Jeff Radionics and Psychotronic devices.
Yeah, I mean, you could play that, but that...
You want to play the Friends of Love?
Yeah, let's do the Jeff's Circle of Friends, just again, because I want to show that these guys don't seem to be alone in the world, that they do have people in their lives.
Yeah.
And it's just funny who's in their lives.
All right. It was a bit of a long clip, but I think it's definitely worth
it. It's definitely worth.
All right, here we go.
I went to Buena Park High School in Buena Park.
All of a sudden, I'm having a flashback. No, that's your clip, actually. M57.
No.
Yeah.
That's
11 minutes in. That's okay. I mean, I'll just dig through it real quick.
No way.
Yeah, it's okay. I got it.
It must be a little bit right after that.
It is. I'm going to just pick up right here and I'll just edit at 19 and a half in. But this is where he's running, so I'll just pick up because I just want to hear the running.
And that I was only going maybe about 7% of 27 and 10% of my actual running speed.
A lot of people think Jeff Turner is a crazed stalker, a madman, but I know him very well, and there's a different side of this story. Nobody in this who sees this documentary is going to believe, but Jeff has connections, and it goes into the whole nature of secret societies and the secret society matrix that's behind the scenes in this country. He knows stuff that is not public information. I have a master's in history, and so I can talk on Jeff's level, and at this point I've confirmed a lot of Jeff's information. People are getting killed that are involved in this stuff. So early on I started becoming aware right away that, you know, this people are going to die, you know. Some people are going to die.
Okay, I first met Jeff back in June 2002 when I attended a concert featuring 1980s teen pop idol singer Tiffany, the name that she goes by. I found out he and I have plenty in common besides being Tiffany fans. He and I also have a neurological disability. He and I both have Asperger's syndrome. I think of myself as a higher functioning version of, say, Rain Man or Forrest Gump, those fictional movie characters. He immediately knew I had Asperger's because I guess it takes one to know one.
It's also called the Little Professor's Syndrome. It's where a person knows all this information and can just talk and talk and talk.
Can I borrow your book, Satan Wants You, Doug?
If I get it back.
You will get it back.
Okay.
I give you my word.
All right.
Anytime you want it back, you can get it back. But that's a good source book because I want to read about the Process Church in there.
He would be utterly clueless that the people that were listening to him were looking for a way to exit. They were looking for the nearest window to jump out.
We have a good memory, good photographic memory, good in details, good with facts, but sadly we have poor social skills. We have trouble interacting with people. We have trouble establishing friendships, and let alone romance. But that's the way it goes. And
it's easy to have romance. It's just the young lady or the lady saying yes. That's yeah. There's women in the past in the 80s and 90s that I've had. Last was 90. Last one was 1992. I had a physical experience with, and then there was 85, and one in 87. Yeah, only one of them I really liked, but she went with somebody else. Yeah. It was a one in 85.
Now, in this scene, he's walking towards a black cat, and it's so
sad. And the cat is running away.
And the cat. It's a stray cat. And the cat's like, get away from me! So there's a few more seconds left of this clip.
I really liked her. Yeah. Hadn't seen her for years, and she wasn't interested, so... Yeah.
So I ate her.
I mean, this kind of thing makes me rethink, you know, my relationships.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was doing the same thing. I was thinking, like, well, I guess I'm a lot better off than this guy because like, I don't have these kind of problems. But, you know, this is why I feel bad for the guy. I really do. He seems so lonely and stuff.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's the common thread here is that these guys are starved for some kind of love that they're not getting. I mean, there was a section where Jeff talks about his stepdad and how his dad was I think his dad was killed in Vietnam.
Right.
And so he has the stepdad who's, you know, a kind of a tyrant, but loves his toy trains.
You know, it's funny. When you made a note about the T-shirt, and it's funny because I forgot about it until I just read it, the T-shirt that says, "I'm looking forward to regretting this."
So this is – so Kelly has a friend named Luis.
Yeah.
Who, again, seems to serve as a kind of support for him. So I don't know if you want to play that clip.
Here we go.
The first person I was in love with, it didn't work out. And out of...
Do you know if this goes into the next?
I think it should, yes. Looking at my notes.
Yeah, I mean, it's shouldn't have an interruption here, so let's just see.
That... I was redeemed and atoned for by Yeshua, Mashiach, Jesus Christ.
Shit.
Yeah, this is part of the other clip. Right.
If you go a little further.
What I'm going to I got it. What I'm going to have to do is go. I want to fill in this. This is a good clip. So. All right, so 26 minutes. All right, let me just write this down. The other one was 19 and a half. 26. I'll figure it out. All right, so here's the clip.
I've known Kelly now for like 10 years. We met back in 1998. I met him at Bally's Total Fitness. I was working out, and he was the janitor there. And I don't know, he just... came up and we start talking, and the nurturing person in me, I don't know, maybe the fucked up person in me is what attracted me to him. I seen this monstrosity of a problem that I could relate within myself, I guess. The whole gay thing, I know what it's like to be judged and put down and black sheep, outcast, whatever. So I kind of try to sympathize with her, and I try not to judge him, which is kind of hard sometimes. Then we were friends like for a year or so, and we decided to be roommates because he was going to get evicted from his apartment. At the time, he drank too much. He wasn't really responsible at budgeting his money. I don't know. I was always trying to mother him or be his parent, and it was really hard.
I just want to say, not to kick the guy while he's down, right? Kelly is one of the weirdest people. Like, to just, he's like dancing and everything, and it's like, could you be more awkward? And he just seems so awkward in every single situation that he's in, no matter what it is.
Which, you know, again, is strange because the clip that we started but stopped, where he's talking about his high school years, it seems like he says he was popular and he was, you know, just it seemed like a normal experience for him. So I guess when he bloomed, so to speak, I can't put myself in his shoes and say I wouldn't be the same awkward if I looked at.
Yeah, I don't think either one of us would want to spend a minute in his shoes.
No.
Especially in that one weird makeup scene.
Jeez. And
You really can't figure out how to put on makeup better than this? Are you kidding me?
And the dress.
The dress.
And this guy, Luis, seems like such a nice guy. I mean, absolutely nothing strange comes out about him except that he befriends this guy.
Right. Well, he's probably using him for like free rent or something.
Yeah.
So here's the rest of the clip.
When we went out, you know, to gay clubs, it's kind of like embarrassing because he's so different. But as more... the more we went out, I guess the easier it got, and it was just me. It wasn't him. It was me. It was my problem. What's kept our friendship going for the last 10 years, really, to be honest, quite frankly, I gave Kelly my number, and he's kept in constant contact with me. Over the years, you know, I put more of an effort into our friendship. I understand him a little bit more, and I don't know. I've grown to actually care for the guy, girl. And I don't know, he's just become one of my friends. And I consider him a good friend of mine.
Yeah, he does seem like a good guy.
I mean, I can't see anything unusual about him.
Right.
Except why, if you're going to be interviewed, would you wear a shirt like that? I just don't understand.
It's my best shirt.
Denver has got some strange people in there.
Yeah, it certainly does. So now we have Jeff's summarized sword gift.
Well, no, let's talk about...
All right, you want to continue with
Kevin. How these guys, or why these guys... are connecting to Tiffany. So, Jeff...
Honestly, I still don't see precisely why. I mean, Kelly, I kind of get it.
I don't get it, because in 2008, there's no current celebrity that you want to... It has to be Tiffany, who's... like not in the public eye at all. Maybe it's got something to do. I have no idea what is pulling them to her.
Mm-hmm.
Except, you know, we have two scenarios. We have Jeff has built this device that puts him into contact.
I do like these devices.
I would think you would love Jeff, because with all his conspiracy theories and
this, I do. I like Jeff a lot. He actually reminds me of one of my friends. I'm not kidding. I'm not even kidding around. So much so that I don't even want my friend to see this particular documentary.
Or listen to this podcast.
Yeah, because I think it would bum him out.
Ouch. Well, Jeff has built this psychotronic device that puts him into contact with Tiffany. And it should be pointed out that, as far as I can make out, that the helmet is a bicycle helmet with wires attached to it. Maybe you and your knowledge of electronics can describe it.
No, this is exactly what you just said. Have you ever seen Back to the Future? Where Marty goes back to 1955 and he tracks down Doc Brown and he bangs on the door and Doc answers the door and he has this huge metal thing on his head. That's kind of what Jeff's putting on. Except the one in the movie looked more legitimate. Yeah. But I'm going to play that clip now. I am amazed by this kind of stuff.
Radionic, psionic, psychotronic devices, Nikola Tesla, great electrophysicist discoverer. You know, the brain is a natural transceiver. The heat-built machines that amplify that. They'll use photographs or personal objects, and they'll tune it specifically, their dials and everything, they'll tune it specifically to the resonant frequencies of a person. I never ask for a lock of hair. I might ask for a fingernail or a toenail, a lock of hair, or a scab, or a skin from a blister or something. I could ask for that, but...
I'm sorry, did he just say a scab? Yeah.
Skin from a blister.
Skin from a blister. No words.
It just never happened that I've asked for that. Actually, I put this on. I'm in communication in a spiritual sense.
Did you notice that on the dials and everything, there are two wishbones? Did you?
I did not notice that.
Yeah, if you look, you know, it's funny. I just noticed it now. I thought that they were Q-tips that were bent. Because I'm like, ugh, they look so, it's so dusty and gross. And I just looked at it. It's actually two, it looks like turkey wishbones.
It's human bones.
Which make, no, but it makes sense. A wishbone, you know? This equipment, I mean.
Has merit?
No, it just looks like radio equipment. I'm not really sure. And it's like a
With junk around it.
Well, one thing it looks like is a vial of holy water. Another thing he has some type of cellophane wrapper with something in it. And I don't know. Here we go. I'm going to keep playing.
And a spiritual level with Tiffany, actually. The whole thing is set up for her. If you communicate with her.
In a pyramid.
And it's peacefulness. Just awareness. But, yeah. Yeah. Like, well, Tiffany and I are linked anyway, this way, but this increases it and amplifies it.
Supposedly he got it from the real people. He got it from the real legitimate radionics crowd.
The radionic, psionic, psychotronic devices, I've spent, related things, I've spent about $20,000.
My name is Douglas Haas, and I've known Jeff Turner for 20 years. I mean, Jeff is shabbily dressed because he's spending all his money on radionics equipment, on experimental physics books, and books about time travel, space-time continuum books.
This book is Music of Time by Preston B. Nichols and Peter Moon, and it's about time travel and alternate realities in the music industry.
I'm Peter Moon. I'm a, you know, writer and publisher.
With equipment like this, you can literally get inside of somebody's mind. That picture is holding part of your non-physical essence, your soul, your mind, whatever you want to call it.
What people don't know about Tiffany could fill many documentaries and many books. She has many gifts, callings, anointings, destinies, and she ministries that she founded or is a part of. She can time travel without machines and interdimensional. She does deal with aliens, different alien races, ethnic groups, and a leader, founder, or leader of many different organizations that most people don't know exist.
Somebody who is preoccupied with consuming a lot of information about strange topics is because they're not getting enough prana or life energy. They're not getting the real juice of life.
So, there's a lot of information there. Preston Nichols, who is in there, is one of the people who supposedly traveled in time with the Philadelphia experiment. Peter Moon is one of the publishers of the Montauk Project books. And this music thing that they're talking about is one of these kind of using like beta and theta waves. maybe I should become friends with Jeff. But using beta and theta waves to like to access different spectrums of reality.
So you've covered this on the Odd, is that it?
A little bit here and there. This is more of my own reading.
Okay, crazy person.
But
Holy shit.
I have that book that the music thing. And ooh, TMI. No, but yeah, these are things that we also do cover on the Odd. We actually had recently the producer and director of the Montauk Chronicles on, Chris Garitano, who came on. He just created an entire documentary, and he's actually interviewing those same guys. Maybe Peter Moon's dead now, actually, but he interviews Preston Nichols, and it's kind of interesting, a real eye opener.
So is Jeff's machine?
Jeff's machine looks like it's just kind of made. Like he just got obsessed with something and started building it. Yep.
There is some wood there that's sort of
and it's all like encased in like this weird pyramid. There's nothing in the Montauk books that give out schematics or anything. But you know, then there's the John Titor. I'm not going to go too far into this kind of stuff because this is really kind of you know, on the odd type of stuff. But the John Titor thing is one of these time traveler guys that appeared on the internet in the, I believe, late 90s. And he posted time travel schematics. That could be, you know, one of the schematics that he built.
Okay. I mean, I took away from this that...
Oh, that he's crazy.
That he's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, there's no other word for it.
And so...
I have nothing like that. I'd love to, though. I'd love to build something like that just to have it. It was ridiculous looking.
And so when we see what gets Kelly onto Tiffany, it has more legitimacy, if you will, than and it's sad. But if you want to play cue number nine,
You got to give me just a second here. Got to it's like VHS these days. I got to fast forward to it. All right, here we. You know, I have to make sure that your cues are correct, and they are for this one at least.
Yeah, this one.
So, I should have double checked on these, but I think there were just two that were mistakes, which is totally fine.
I received government aid known as SSDI.
Is this the correct story?
Yep, keep going.
All right.
I received $643 a month from the federal government. The government pays like 3/4 of my rent because of my disability and because of my housing life situation.
It seems like Kelly's trapped in the 80s. He's obsessed with the 80s. I think it was all caused by his accident that he had back in the 80s.
June 18th, 1987, I was involved in a critical bicycle accident. I was comatose for 16 days. All right. I actually saw Tiffany being together with the person that looked exactly, I mean, to the T. After I woke up out of a coma July 4th, 1987, my sister handed me a Walkman. I was barely able to even move at that point in time. Very first song I heard was Tiffany's "I Think We're Alone Now," and then I asked my sister if she could bring me a picture of her. I'm not kidding. You know, I almost fell right back in the coma because, you know, there she was. Until that point, I'd never even heard of Tiffany. It's been my own personal mission ever since then, you know, to be with, you know, to follow through with this, with this vision I had.
I actually saw myself being with Tiffany for an extremely long period of time.
I think that's the end of the clip.
Yeah.
No, and you know, that makes a little bit more sense. Like, he comes out of it, it's his first experience, and for whatever reason, he never got past it.
And now, again,
Chris, I don't see the humor in this.
I don't understand. You know, I know at a certain point, don't you have to let go, though? I know he has an illness, but when he gets upset when talking about Tiffany marrying somebody. So, and again, it's sad.
Well, some of my favorite parts of this documentary is when Kelly gets upset.
So, if you want to play Q11, just to give folks a taste of Kelly getting a little bit upset.
All right, we have two Q11s, but I'll figure it out.
No. Oh, you're right. Yeah, the Kelly talks.
Sorry, no, I'm teasing you. Here we go.
I mean this in a negative way towards Tiffany, but...
By the way, I just want to say, this is my favorite, because...
He really goes.
He really, yeah. It's really, really incredible, and...
It's sad, and then it's sad.
It's hilarious.
When she married Ben, she brought a lot of negativity and a lot of depression upon me.
Well, one of my new best friends, Ben George.
Ben George, Tiffany, and myself, February...
And this is Jeff talking out of nowhere, by the way. Mm-hmm. And Jeff has these photographs of him standing with Tiffany and Jeff. I mean, standing with Ben and Tiffany. By the way,
there are
Tiffany became really hot. Right? Wouldn't you agree or no? You
don't like the way she looks. No, she looks old and used.
Oh, my God. She's not pleasing you.
Why? How? I mean, I guess I know how he has so many pictures of him with Tiffany. I guess we'll get there. He goes to every personal appearance that she makes everywhere.
Well, I was talking to my friend Michael just before, and he said that, he's like, well, you know, Tiffany's playing in Island Park here in New York. And, you know, I think that she plays everywhere. She's playing in like a little tiny, no, you know, kind of like a no big deal type of place.
Exactly.
In like 2 weeks from now. And I'm like, I'm going.
Now, think maybe about you'll meet Jeff.
Right. Well, is Jeff in California? I really can't figure out. So they're not going to come all the way. I'm wondering, can we reach out to Jeff somehow? Or Kelly? And maybe, you know, have an interview with them. I think maybe we should reach out to them after this.
Maybe he's on Facebook.
You know he's on Facebook. Come on. As this is playing, I'm going to do a quick search for him. Do we have a last name on Jeff? I'll find it.
Turner. Right. Turner.
Here's the clue. Yeah, it can't be too many Jeff Turners. All right, here we go.
Year 2005 at the Hollywood Collectors and Celebrities Show. We got it. Yeah, I think you can see the look on his face there. The look in his eyes. He's exuding jealousy. I mean, look at the look in his eyes. I mean,
they show like a zoom in on him. And the guy just looks like
he's looking.
Just take the picture already. Yeah. like, can I just get a beer? There's no jealousy in those eyes. So funny.
Does that look like the green-eyed monster of jealousy? Yes, it does.
For some reason, that he is blocking. You know, trying to block me. Like a defensive end, like intercepting a football and running it back maybe 15, 20 yards before being tackled.
I like Ben George. He's a very taciturn, serious, reserved Englishman. And he and I have made friends, and I really enjoy him. And Tiffany and I enjoy their marriage and their relationship, and are on their side.
Yeah. My destiny is I'm supposed to be with Tiffany. I'm not kidding you. I'm not making any of this up. I mean, if I am, put shackles on me, take me to fucking jail. Because you know what? I have the right, you know, to love and be happy. Ben fucking George. I mean, talk about identity theft. The guy basically stole my identity, lied to Tiffany, and basically now Tiffany is married to a liar and a fucking cheater. I'm sick and fucking tired of this bullshit. I'm being pushed out of Tiffany's life when I'm supposed to be in it.
No words. No words.
Now, again, I think he's loaded the whole time. I think he's just, you know, really just wasted.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But
I mean, he definitely sounds drunk there to me.
He's a very. I mean, both these guys are like Rupert Pumpkins to
yeah, they're really intense.
Nth degree. I mean, it's like, wow. But Kelly has a much sadder story. So, you know, later on, actually in a little bit, he goes to a concert of Tiffany's, and he gets there really early.
Oh my God, it's really sad.
And there's nobody there, and I was like, I don't know, maybe it was the wrong night or something.
Maybe this is just the way it is, too. You know, like, yeah. How many people, you know, getting online to go to see
Tiffany? But it turns out that he can't get into the show. I mean, there is actually a show there.
He has a photocopy of his driver's license or some type of ID.
And they won't let him in.
Now, did you happen to look at that ID? Did you have any opportunity?
I didn't have a chance to zoom in on it.
Well, under sex, he took a pen and wrote in really big, bold letters F. So it's kind of funny. I mean, it's sad, you know, they're not going to let you in. It's a photocopy of an ID that's crossed out.
But really, does he look underage? I mean, come on.
No, they're just giving him a hard time.
They
don't want him there. She probably said, don't let that guy in.
I don't know. It's just heartbreaking. He has a meltdown. He goes and buys, like, tons of liquor.
And liquors himself up. Yeah. And that was self-medication, you know. It was...
And so you contrast that with Jeff, who goes to his own concert, a beach concert, and he's just like happy-go-lucky. So I don't know if you want to play Jeff's going to the beach cue.
Yeah, I'm queuing it up. You know, it's really creepy, too, because he's talking to security.
He started this, and the security guys, their expressions... are just, they're unbelieving.
You know what this scene reminded me of in Taxi Driver, where Robert De Niro's going up to everyone and talking to them, hey, how do you join this? How do you join? You know, it kind of reminded me a little bit of that.
You've heard of the singer Tiffany? Yeah, she's going to be here. She was here last year. Yeah, she's going to be here singing today.
This is her last year singing?
No, she was here last year. She's here again this year.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there was a lot of Spanish people here, so that'll help. Were you here last year?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, last year what happened is the first half of the show, there was hardly anyone came here, and it was easy to get a seat right over here in the first half of the show. Now, the second half of the show, it got real crowded, and people were allowed to go up, you know, up to the near the edge of the stage. They cranked their head back, and then whole bunch of lesbians climbed up on the stage and started groping her and butt bumping her and hugging her, and she was fine with that. Only the security handcuffed about 8 people till they ran out of handcuffs. I came after the show was over. There had about 8 people sitting on the ground in handcuffs, and when they ran out of handcuffs, Big Paul, he just went and was just throwing people off the stage that did that, and they stage dived into the audience. I'm a friend of Tiffany's, and I was here last year with this. I just talked to Tiffany about this last month. So we saw each other for 2 days. I mean, we are friends. We got pictures, and that's my towel.
Oh, so you're a big fan.
A friend.
Friend.
We're friends, yeah.
Well, and a fan.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's true, but friend first.
Oh. We took a photo of us right here that morning.
So, you know, he also does blatant lying. Right? He didn't talk to her for
Not
two
in
days.
His own mind. Not in his own mind.
It's, you know, it's so crazy. And he does seem to be very religious, right?
Like he goes to this little church.
Mm-hmm.
there's a scene later where he's talking about after he's gone to the GlamourCon with all the porn stars.
That was so weird.
And he's talking to about this at the church. Yeah. And the guy's trying to play the guitar. He's like,
It's actually great. He's like, the guy with the guitar is like strumming and, you know, playing a little intro thing, about to go right into the holy name of God or something. And he's like, just keeps talking about these porn stars. It's so funny.
So there's just a couple more cues I want to play in this section, which it's Jeff at the Tiffany show, which I want to play because if you won't hear any crowd because they're just sitting there, and Tiffany is not putting any effort into this show, and I'm like, wow, she's really terrible. She sucks based on what we see here.
How dare you, sir?
But her guitarist is really, really good.
He's a wanker. A wanker guitarist is somebody who's just playing, But no, I know what you mean. But she doesn't have to put in that much effort. There's not that many people there.
She's trying to get the crowd to sing along. They're not singing along whatsoever.
Like, put it this way, with Tiffany, she's in a position now where she can make this appearance, and she probably makes a couple grand doing it, and that's it. Like, the people just want to hear the hit. She'll push some new record, and she probably has a couple more, like, minor hits, and that's it. And, and she sells, like, autographed pictures and that type of stuff.
But if I was Tiffany, I'd be, like, happy that Jeff was there, because he's the one who's, like, on his feet and screaming and hollering.
Well,
sort of.
Yeah, it's like the one who's shown up in your hotel room.
What do you, if you're Tiffany and you watch this, what is your reaction? I mean, you see these guys come up to you all the time at these public appearances. I have no idea how I would handle this. I have absolutely no idea.
She's probably used to this by now. In the beginning of the documentary, they mentioned how one particular stalker tried to reach out to Tiffany and couldn't reach out to her. So that same stalker ended up killing someone.
Right.
What was that? My Sister Sam?
Yes. Yes.
With Pam Dauber, I think, if my memory is correct.
Yep.
And that was a big tragedy when that happened. That was like, oh my God, this person just got a TV role and this person goes out and killed. I think that struck a chord with Tiffany. I think she's thinking, these people are capable of hurting me for no reason.
And who knows? She's right. I mean, if you think about Jeff, and you see him and like he's talking to these guys at the beach here or whatever he's doing, he's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
He's kind of crazy. And yet he seems harmless. And yet, do you think, well,
he
underneath
could choke
that,
her to death.
Yeah, that, like, this guy could snap in a second. And then you see the way he lives and the way his house is a mess, and it kind of looks like mine right now, actually. But
no. I think that you would immediately, if this was you, you'd probably be even more afraid of him because you realize how obsessed these people are with you.
Right. And again, if you're Tiffany and then you see Kelly, is Kelly look like a harmful person? No, but do you have the compassion for him?
All right, here's the clip.
Something like, oh my golly, it's been number one for 18 weeks in a row by your request. It's Tiffany with I Think We're Alone Now.
It doesn't seem to be. Now, the audience is a bunch of middle-aged...
Great.
Like, it's weird. Like, you're at the beach, but everyone's got a coat on. it doesn't look warm. So, here. We wanna rise. I think we're alone now. The beating of our hearts, is it all? And that's Jeff clapping, by the way. By the way, what other effort could she have done for you to think that she puts more effort into her show?
I don't know.
It's a pretty simple song.
She looks bored.
She looks bored. This is a song she's been playing. She's been paying her mortgage with this song since 1987. She's probably tired of it, I would imagine. Oh my God, this guy.
This
I don't care what you say. I think Tiffany's hot. And we see a couple other Tiffany fans, which are kind of...
Yeah, we're going to do that clip next.
Yeah, they kind of... the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I think, when it comes to Tiffany fans. And again, that clapping is Jeff. Was really good.
So now this is where the clip that made me say, oh, this reminds me of, yes, King of Comedy with all those Rupert Pupkins, but also Stardust Memories, which I don't know if you've ever seen that Woody Allen movie. It's this kind of thing from his viewpoint. And so all of these fans are like these distorted freaks. And that's what I didn't realize. Every single Tiffany fan was a freak.
Yeah. So you have this hardcore tattooed looking guy and he's a big Tiffany fan. So here's that clip.
The really dedicated fans, it dates back to our teenage years for us. And there's always something special about your childhood fantasy or your childhood dream.
Tiffany, 20 years ago I had to see the New Kids on the Block, unfortunately, live, just to see her live. And so she was the opening act, so right after she was off, though, I was off.
Especially her song, I Think We're Alone Now. That's the song of hers I like the best. And she rocks. She's a good musician.
When I was a lost, lonely teenager that had no friends and I was sitting in my room with the door shut all day, I would play Tiffany's albums and dream of maybe one day meeting this person, and then that all kind of came true for me.
Tiffany definitely rocks. 20 years now, big fan of hers. Her new album, Just Me, rocks. Probably one of the best albums ever recorded. Be All Right, Just Me, great songs.
Wait. Best album ever recorded. Wow. All right,
and anyone being around Tiffany, meeting her just once, I've seen their life is transformed.
So you follow her all around the place?
I've been attending, attending her appearances and concerts.
Okay.
It's a much better way to say that.
Yeah. Right. For how many years?
Since 88.
She was such a big part of my youth.
All right.
She shaped the person I am today, really, you know.
Tiffany has shaped the person I am. I am a completely different person than I would be without Tiffany. She is a dear friend of mine. She declared, called me on the phone at home in 2000 and said, I'm your best friend, mentor, and protector. Tiffany has done so much for me. She has transformed my life.
And the other fan is like, oh my God, that's okay. I touched her arm. So strange. But you know what? I could speak this passionately about some bands that I liked when I was a kid. But I'm not obsessed with them the way these people are.
Yeah, I mean, I would not. I still have a foot in reality.
But this is the thing. If you were to go to, say, like, I listen to a lot of more off music. So I'm gonna name a complete guilty pleasure, but I'm very open about it. Stryper, which is a heavy metal band from the 80s. If I were to go to a Stryper show, and people were there and they're like, hey, so what do you think about Stryper? I would probably say something along the lines of, well, I think Stryper is one of the greatest bands of all time. Now, would I say that today, though? Maybe not. But if I'm at the Stryper show, I think it's, you know, you're getting kind of unfair readings. I don't know. All I'm saying is, I don't think all those people are like hardcore Tiffany fans. Maybe they are.
It sounded like it. Yeah, it sounded like it.
They were there. Well, I'm going to meet them in 2 weeks.
Are you really?
No, I'm not going to see Tiffany. Are you kidding me?
I thought you really would.
I know one song. I don't even, you know, and I can't even sit through that guitar solo. Maybe I'll become the new obsessed fan and try to get her to come on the show. The Tiffany Show.
So
anyway,
our stars, Jeff calls Kelly, and they all design to meet up in Vegas to go to a Tiffany show.
Mm-hmm. And Kelly's taking the bus.
Yep. And I thought this would have, I don't know, I thought there'd be bigger fireworks when these two guys met.
Yeah, and it was weird. It just got weirder. Well, when you say fireworks, you think they would like get along?
That they get along, there'd be much better shtick.
I thought it would just be complete competition. I'm the biggest fan. No, I am.
That comes out later, where
A little bit, yeah.
Kelly snaps at Jeff, and I'm actually looking for that clip right now. I know where it ends, but I don't know where it starts. But it transpires that, you know, Kelly is putting so much into this,
mm-hmm,
that he really wants to meet her and I don't know what he wants. But he does get up to her,
yeah,
and he does try – he plants a very awkward kiss on her, which she seems repulsed by, you know. And
it's weird too, because there's also a scene where they go to – she's performing apparently in a strip club, right?
Yeah, I was watching this on the train, and I was like, where the fuck is she? Because I know she went to – she appears at the Glamour Con and signs pictures of her Playboy appearance. but then she's in this club with all these gay guys. I assume they're gay.
There's also female strippers there.
Didn't see any female ones.
I see one right now.
You do?
Yeah, this is her performing there now. That's not really much of a performance, but
I see nothing but men there.
Yeah, I'm at the point where Jeff's about to meet her, so I'm gonna play that.
Okay.
I'm wondering, do they have dialogue here? It's like they're online, they're waiting to go up.
I don't think so.
There's no dialogue. It's just very uncomfortable and shot in.
Like night vision?
Yes.
So that Kelly in particular looks really creepy.
Yeah, they're all just very, very creepy.
Emotions. I'm just quiet. I just feel like I'm on cloud nine. Yeah, I've just got a huge sense of accomplishment in my life right now.
So the accomplishment was just meeting her.
Meeting her, and he got a kiss, too. It's, again, he got his kiss.
Yeah, he'll never wash his cheek again.
And as Pancho would say in Marie, I'm going to have this cheek bronzed.
Now, there's a lot more that happens, but it's not really clip heavy.
It isn't. That's why I was kind of surprised that... the story does take a few interesting turns. So after this episode, after this road trip to Vegas, which, you know, Kelly thinks is a success,
mm-hmm,
and Jeff is just happy no matter what.
Yeah, Jeff's, it's always a success.
Something happens. And if you want to go to an hour and 5 minutes in and 35 seconds,
all right, here we go. For how long?
I don't know, but you'll know it when you hear it.
Okay.
Okay, in 10 years, see myself married. Don't know if I have children or not, but see myself as married. Probably still living in this area during the summer and... maybe living in the winter in Southern California. A lot's changed in my life. The realization of Alyssa, which is really nice.
All right, this is where it all turns darker. So, Does he mention Alyssa who?
He does, yeah. Okay. Keep going.
I can't marry Tiffany.
Now, why not? I wonder in his mind. Right?
Yeah, true. I don't true.
Yeah, it's not possible, so yeah. If Tiffany was available to marry and then Alyssa being available, have to make a choice between the two of them, I'd...
Who would you choose, Chris?
Alyssa in a friggin' heartbeat.
Yeah, me too, but I mean... Now, I don't think he's going to say it, but it's Alyssa Milano. And you can search on YouTube for Jeff's stalking of Alyssa Milano, which is a whole other...
It's another documentary.
It pretty much is.
I didn't know that... I didn't know Alyssa like had a CD. I have to look for that.
Yeah. I think she covers I Think We're Alone Now.
Probably choose Alyssa. Okay. Here's the two the CDs of Alyssa. They're erotic art films of Alyssa. I don't know why I have two of these, but yeah, that's Alyssa on the set of Charmed the last season. This is something, she sent me this in the mail. Interesting little study. Way too much eye makeup. Way too much grease.
Now, I did, I just looked up Alyssa Milano's album in the hopes that she did cover I Think We're Alone Now, but she did not. It came out in 1989.
In her prime.
And who's Joey Carbone? I know the name. He's the producer. No idea. He's the producer. But I could have sworn that he was like a big producer. Doesn't matter.
Well, I can't say that I fault Jeff in his taste now. But it's funny that so Jeff just picks up with Alyssa what he was doing with Tiffany. So if you wanna play from 109 mm-hmm. to 110.07, it's just a story about stalking Alyssa.
All right, hold on one second. I have to clip these for real next time.
See if we can drop by and see Alyssa Milano. And I'm like, okay. And so Jeff, we pull up and we have to pull over the car. And Jeff gets out and says, tell... Alyssa Milano that Jeff Turner is here to see her, and somebody calls back and says, we don't know who Jeff Turner is, or we don't know who Jeff is. And then Jeff, so we have to leave. And then later Jeff claims that, oh, it was her brother's girlfriend pulling a prank on us or something. I can't remember what it was.
You want to keep playing that one?
Is it- no, that's good. That's
okay.
Good.
Okay. No, I forgot what the number is that you said to play it until. But if there's more, I'll keep playing.
But it's just funny that he just switches.
Yeah, it's just like all of a sudden it's Alyssa Milano.
I mean, I've seen those two films that he held up. And,
yeah,
and
me too.
I have one somewhere here.
Well, he has both.
And I would have both if I could find them.
You could find them if you were if really you knew a where fan. To look. If you were a real fan, you would definitely, without a doubt, have those, like me.
Oh,
so have you
man.
Ever felt, like, obsessed with any artist like this? What's the closest that you've gotten to being obsessed?
To an artist? You know, to somebody famous? I am nowhere near any celebrities to, like, stalk.
Well, like,
I will say, this. I
oh boy.
I don't know if I should say.
Well, I'll say you know, there's somebody, you know, there's a couple artists that I can think of for me, but nobody that I would really go out of my way to meet, like crazy out of my way.
I mean, I wouldn't go crazy out of my way, but like there's a woman that I see on the train every morning mm-hmm. who's beautiful. I mean, she's really beautiful. And, you know, that's where my Woody Allenisms take over. And I'm like, it becomes a literary kind of romantic pursuit. you know, of course, I'm not going to do anything, although I've memorized her her car license plate number.
No, you haven't.
I have. It's wow. Unfortunate. And, you know, I just, you know, I would never, never really follow her to see where she lives, just to learn her name. I just, to find her on Facebook so I can look at pictures of her. I would never do that. I would never do that.
Oh, my God. So, John Frusciante, the guitarist from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I was always really big into. You know, like his music really changed the way that I would write music and perform music and everything. And the thing is, before I learned that what kind of musician he really was, I had met him, and I kind of blew him off in a way, because I was like, I don't care who you are, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, at the time I didn't like them. And in retrospect, I think back, I'm like, oh my God, like, this is somebody who completely changed my life, and I had an opportunity to really have met him. And I totally blew him off. Not that he was waiting there to talk to me or anything like that, but he was, you know, just there, and I could have, you know, at least shaken his hand or something. So,
but at no point are you going to leave reality? You know, it's not like you're really going to.
I don't think so.
Think you're going to have an affair with this guy, or live with him, or follow him on tour, or play with him.
Do you say something? Maybe. No. No, there's nothing like that. Although, you know, meeting some people that, you know, you kind of, I guess, idolized, or befriending them is definitely strange. The New Monkees is a good example. Like, I'm kind of buddy-buddy with these two guys who are in the New Monkees. And I think that that's crazy to me, to think back to when I enjoyed the show and I really liked it and all this kind of stuff. And now it's like I get emails from them every once in a while, and like, or like an instant message and stuff like that from saying, hey, what's up, check out this thing. And it's, they know who I am, and it's weird. That's strange.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Tiffany, no, I don't know,
never.
But I wouldn't go out of my way for that, is what I'm saying, I guess. I think both of us have shared too much.
Wasn't there another, like, one hit wonder or something?
Well, there was Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson, that's who I'm thinking of.
You know, it was like the Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears were basically the Tiffany and Debbie Gibson. You know, it was a similar type of rivalry.
Right, right.
But, you know, I think that it's just now people are bigger than life. Now they're just not accessible. So maybe, you know, a throwback to that is that these people were big stars and now they're accessible. So maybe that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a sad situation to be in. In the future, we're going to be covering a similar stalking scenario, which didn't end up as nice as Jeff and Kelly. we're going to be covering the Bjork stalker. Stalker. And that's a really, really crazy scenario. Crazy story. Did you happen to watch any of that documentary?
I didn't watch that yet, so don't spoil it for me.
I'm not going to. It's a phenomenal peek into the mind of a madman.
So it's going to creep me out, and as opposed to entertain me like this one did?
The last 10 seconds will stay with you for the rest of your life.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
There's no doubt about it.
Does Bjork sing?
Oh, so you did see the end.
Oh.
But, all right. So, yeah, Chris, thank you very much for getting together this evening. We went pretty long for Tiffany on this.
I wonder if we can reach out to Tiffany and talk to her about the.
I'm guessing you'll.
Did you find Turner?
No.
Did you find Turner?
No. But I have a feeling it would probably be easier to contact Tiffany than to reach out to Jeff.
Jeff has bodyguards now.
Yeah, Jeff probably does have bodyguards. He's probably dating Alyssa Milano. But all right, man. So I'll talk to you next time.
All right. Have a good one.